United Kingdom Radio listeners. This is Lou Caverly.
And Elizabeth Cabot Caverly.
Who are coming to you live tonight on the Global Star Radio Network. Tuesday, July 9th, 2024. This program will also be heard at WWCR.com tomorrow night, Wednesday, July 10th, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on their shortwave, frequency 9.350 megahertz. Visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com.
And Lou, I know you were going to tell the listeners, and I may butt in to say this, that things are so urgent. The headlines you're bringing on World War III, it's so important that both evenings hear it, so we will have one program this week.
Yeah, so we'll broadcast twice, but it will be the same program both times. All right. NATO is meeting in Washington, D.C. The plan appears to be an outlay of $13 billion for bilateral agreements, a lot like the 10-year agreement we covered previously. World War III and the coercion of Ukraine to join NATO appear to be the goals.
And Lou, well, we might tell listeners again to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and look there under Breaking News, and you will see the radio monologue that yours truly wrote about Last Man Standing and Last American Man Standing, what they intend, the draft of your sons, and the sending of them into this terrible kind of a quagmire, this kind of a terrible provocation of nuclear destruction of the entire Earth. So if it was ever more important for us to be on the air, it never was. This is the time, and we are bringing you news you won't hear very many other places. We have some information from True News. We might not always agree. They don't always have a balanced view of Israel. But we were very happy to hear that they reported on an Israeli shelling of a hospital with children inside, and the children's bodies were shown. And we were pleased that the host said, of course, there were Hamas in that hospital, too, and their lowlifes. So we need to pray for all of the important patriots who are left, and that would be Doc Burkhart and Rick Wiles on True News. That would be Hal Turner, who brought out the truth of NATO's lies. That would be Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. Before too long, we will be telling you about some very deadly dangers in August. August, augurs of patriots' doom. So if you value this program, we do need help. Lou has ordered the books, the extra books, 100 more. COVID and coming chaos books are coming to the Caverlys. So two of you have stepped up to help a little bit, and we need more. So if you can write a check, send a money order, something to Lou Caverly directly, it would be of great benefit, because we're going to make this very short right here and right now before Lou finishes this important news. We've been under considerable satanic attack. Starting on a Sunday, we talked about our car giving out, and it will need a new transmission, $4,500. But God was good that day. He dropped us right in front of a hotel that had an air-conditioned lobby. Then, last week, we taped our one program, Tuesday evening, on Global Star, and the very next day, our air conditioning downstairs went out. Now, we're in temperatures that today, Lou, did you say it was 98 degrees?
That's what my automobile said, yes.
Yes, and so it's been like this, nearly 100, and one of the days there was a 110-degree heat index. So it has been really terrible. So we were 5 days without any air conditioning in our downstairs, and I believe that perhaps our lives would have been endangered if this had gone on much longer. And now, we may as well do this right now before you get to the very most hard-hitting news. We are seeing that the elite, the so-called elite of the world, the globalist planners, who want to have the Deagle Report come true, where there will be very few Americans left. America is in the crosshairs, of course, because of our constitutional republic, because of the men with the guns, 400 million men with guns. So they'll do anything to starve us, poison our food that's on the shelves, break up the farms, bring in the Chinese. They're getting ready. They're getting ready for this World War III. But in the meantime, the Biden inflation itself. What did you hear, Lou, from a TV commentator?
I heard that many Americans now have to decide, do they pay the essential bills or do they eat?
That's shocking. You know, we're getting closer to being in Cuba, the socialist Cuba. You know, I really love those stamps that wonderful doctor helper of the divided kingdom sent, those pony cars. I said it looked like my old Plymouth Satellite, vintage 1972. But we're going to soon be driving clunkers, just like the people in Cuba. We're driving 1950s cars. We're not going to have food to eat. And here was the interesting part. Yes, we've never been rich enough to have central air conditioning in our home. So back when we first married, we bought a room air conditioner for the downstairs in the kitchen. I think you went to Sears, didn't you, Lou?
I'm sure I must have, yes.
Then the next one. The first one lasted pretty long because this was probably American-made. I think it lasted 13 years.
I think you're right.
And since then, there was one that lasted 7 years and one that maybe lasted 10. I'm not sure whether there were three. But every time you went to these little home, what were they called, the Sears stores?
I think the one we went to was just simply called a Sears appliance store.
Or a home store, you know,
something
when you
like
look.
That, yes.
Something like that. And you see, a nice entrepreneur could run one of these and make a good living. We had a guy named Paul Carroll. He was probably related to those early Carrolls, so important in the history of Maryland. And I think he later went on, after he managed this store, to get some kind of a judicial position. Not as a judge exactly. I'm not sure what he got, but he was a great guy. So we bought different things there. We bought washers. So we thought that this would continue. The middle class had this kind of an entrepreneurship. So when this thing hit us, we realized we were not getting any cold air. Lou went to the Yellow Pages. He began to look whether there were any Sears stores left. We knew that some bigger Sears stores had closed around us, and he called, he looked on the internet, and what was the blanket message?
They were all closed.
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 Closed. Closed. Closed. Everywhere. So that left Lowe's. Now, the last time we had to get an air conditioner was about 5 years ago. It was before COVID, perhaps 6 years. So you see, these appliances are not lasting like they once did. Perhaps this was a GE. Do you remember? I believe it was.
It was, yeah.
The last one. And we don't know whether that was made in America then or somewhere else. But at any rate, it lasted that long. But even at that time, Lowe's would not deliver. You see, like Sears had, the middle class people are out of luck. No, we had to wait over a week, suffering at that time, where these two old guys came and put it in, and the one man was deaf. We know that you see these people down socioeconomically. They have to strive to find these jobs, these heavy, hard jobs, and we've always tipped well. Okay, so now this time, there was a change. We couldn't even go through Lowe's to arrange some other people to install it. They would deliver it, but they wouldn't install it. So lo and behold, here came these three young Hispanic guys. And they came in, and they looked kind of dazed and confused. And I admit that my heart was not good, because we usually tip people. We always tip people. And, of course, that man, that older man who was deaf, we tipped him very well. And there was this quick thought. You could quickly go get a little money and tip. But I admit, sin came into my heart. We're going to owe $4,500. I'm not sure these guys deserve a tip, because they weren't utterly very polite. They just dumped the thing. And they left. But later, I regretted that I hadn't done what I probably should have done. A little tip. But we don't know who those very young Hispanic guys were, do we, Lou?
No, we don't.
We don't know. And I think all of you listening can get the implication in my voice. They seemed very dazed and confused. There are lots of implications. Lou said they could have been high on something. I don't think that was the case. But something was perhaps out of kilter. So God saved us by a plumber friend who is a good Christian man. He has helped us before in life. He got two other Christians from his church, and they came, and they got it figured out. It took two 2.5 hours. And, of course, this machine had an Oriental name. This certainly was not an American product, and they worked a long time, and they managed to get it in. Now, what I'm telling you is things are going to get harder and harder and harder because we believe this is God's judgment on America. The heat wave is terrible in many states. What is this? We're being told that the genital mutilation of our youth, our children, is abomination to God Almighty. But now, when we tell you this, we tell you that we were under extreme attacks yesterday, extreme attacks in which Satan tried to destroy us even as a married couple. That is true, isn't it, Lou?
That is true.
We don't hold things back. We were very weakened, and things can get out of proportion. Now, of course, we never get into fisticuffs or something like that. Of course not. It's more like we feel sick all over and things we can't come to an agreement on things. And then Satan clouds our minds and makes us see it differently. And when we finally pray, then God shows us why, of course, you're under attack. Pastor Bob Martin, who is on WWCR, has always told his listeners that don't think the satanic attacks end one Thursday. Next Thursday, they'll be back again. And we knew this information was so important that we're to bring to you that after all this was done, God triumphed. He gave us victory over the attacks, didn't he, Lou?
Yes, he did.
Because we love each other dearly. We've celebrated 40 years, a wedding anniversary recently that was not even remembered by our own family members. Only about two of you, dear listeners, sent us cards. See, we could be heartbroken over many things, but you know what the Bible says? We're to keep our eyes on the Lord and remember how Jesus's compatriots, supposedly he had grown up with, tried to throw him over a cliff. So we want to tell you this because we are upfront with you. We are telling you that it's not always going to be easy, everything you're doing. In fact, well, the lady who is going to distribute a number of our books in an answer to a prayer that yours truly made about God, please use the book as a mustard seed and get more of them out. Right after that, she wrote and said, God is opening a door. I can get a lot more books out. So we sent the books, and here came this note. Just when we were under attack, she said that what she's learned is that God speaks. She said he spoke to you about the mustard seed, and then he spoke to me to answer you that I could get more books out. And she said, I've always found that we must not try to do what our will is. In this situation, when God tells us to do something, we must then be alert, and we must mold our lives to his will. So Lou and I are very jubilant today, aren't we?
That's right.
We're happy. We're happy because God healed any hurts we had. God has given us faith. He'll take care of the money. He'll help us have the way to get the transmission fixed. He will pay for the books. And two of you already sent a little donation to help Lou pay for these books. So you see, we're witnessing to you that as times get worse, you must not give in and let yourself be demoralized by Satan, but you must be clever. You must plan. You must have food. You must be right with the Lord. And as far as Lou and I go, we think we must read the Bible more frequently during every day, and we plan to do this. Now, with all this said, we must move back to this important, riveting information that True News had when nobody else was reporting this. No, they're all in the bread and circuses of Biden, Biden. Will he step down? What'll happen to Biden? Lou, you have the important warning information.
Yes, good. Going on with this matter from Europe, a German command center with 700 employees is being set up. True News reported July 8th that for the first time ever, Chinese PLA military troops are in Europe. These are massing in Poland next to Ukraine. True News pointed out how precipitous this change is, since even a week ago, no Chinese troops were yet in Europe.
And they're in Belarus.
Yes, that's
right.
They
commented. And to anyone who just tuned in to my long story, story there, the parable of what's happening to the middle class and how God always rescues us, and he triumphs over Satan's desire to destroy families, to destroy couples, to destroy children. God is supreme. But we wanted to say that the backdrop of all this is NATO is meeting in Washington, D.C. In this heat of judgment, they are making these plans. And Lou already told you they're getting these bilateral agreements together. How many billion, Lou?
Well, let me see. 13 billion.
And that's in addition to that other $10 billion
yes.
That Biden promised. And so now, these Chinese men, they're military troops, and they are massing very near the Russian border. And there was another rumor, too, that can't be confirmed yet, out of Russia, that Ukraine's special forces tried to hijack a long-range Russian nuclear bomber. You see, that could have been for a false flag attack. A lot of your neighbors won't listen. You can try to tell them, but we pray that some of you will find some people who do want to read our book, and you will quickly send a note to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, the P.O. Box is 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609, and just say, please send me your new book. If you can put a $5 bill or a couple ones in, fine. If you can't, don't. If you can give out three or four books, tell us. Now, is there more to that story?
Well, just to wrap it up, we'll say this. Will we be fighting China and Russia in World War III? God forbid.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
That's all right.
Yes, God forbid. It was so shocking to hear that. Well, now we move on, don't
we? Yes, tonight we have more of Pride Month Afterburn and articles that focus on our continuing coverage of Earth, a.k.a. Murder Incorporated, their diabolical depopulation-oriented activities.
First, this headline. And, of course, this was the People's Voice, June 28th. Putin issues urgent warning. U.S. preparing bird flu false flag to sabotage election. Deep state operatives running America are preparing to unleash a second pandemic to disrupt the 2024 election and blame the bioweapon release on Russia or another adversary, according to urgent information issued to the world by Russia at a military press conference. Then we have LifeSite News. This is June 1st, Emily Mangia-Racina. The U.S. government's psychopathic record on bioweapons should give us pause about, quote, bird flu claims. Farmers and citizens around the world must resist dangerous animal cullings and put governments on the defensive about the new, quote, bird flu scare. Given what we know about the abuse of bioweapons and gain-of-function research. LifeSite News, in a recent interview with Tucker Carlson, medical science author Chris Newby told the story of how she learned that what is known as Lyme disease is likely the product of a bioweapon. She dropped fascinating discoveries that helped lead her to this conclusion. The admissions of a CIA, quote, black ops guy, to dropping poison ticks on Cubans, and of a bioweapons contractor to mass producing fleas, ticks, and mosquitoes, quote, weaponized with, quote, deadly or incapacitating, end of quote, diseases. The importance of this interview goes far beyond the question of whether Lyme disease is a bioweapon, for which she provided hard-to-ignore evidence by giving a disturbing glimpse into U.S. military involvement in disease bioweapons. It steers even the, quote, conspiracy skeptic to admit to the possibility or likelihood that governments, including our own, continue to test and deploy such bioweapons. One who is unafraid of facing facts and reason will come to the same conclusion as Stanford professor J. Bhattacharya upon reviewing Newby's research that the, quote, mid-20th century U.S. biomedical research establishment was psychopathic, as shown by knowingly, quote, deadly investigations in the name of developing vaccines and bioweapons, end of quote.
But human nature doesn't change. And if the biomedical establishment had psychopathic tendencies less than a century ago, there will be people within it with those same tendencies today. as Bhattacharya concludes, pointing out that this, quote, may help explain many things about the COVID pandemic, unquote. This question of government involvement in bioweapons production is taking on fresh and urgent relevance as the WHO redoubles its effort to pass a freedom-restricting, national sovereignty-overriding pandemic treaty, and as a bird flu scare is emerging. Despite the fact that evidence overwhelmingly shows COVID-19 was a gain-of-function bioweapon used as an excuse to push harmful, quote-unquote, vaccinations around the world, the public is expected to unquestioningly swallow the idea that there is no agenda or deliberation behind a bird flu outbreak. Moreover, we are to believe bird flu is such a threat that it necessitates the mass culling of millions of chickens, severely restricting our food supply. Already there are plans to kill over 4 million chickens in Iowa after the avian influenza was reportedly detected among a flock in Sioux County. A leaked Zoom meeting involving Canada's chief public health officer, Theresa Tam, shows a government team discussing measures it can take to curb or prevent potential outbreaks in Canada, searching farms for positive bird flu cases in animals, and quarantining those farms. Surveillance and tracking of infection cases, honing in on the production of raw milk, and even searching for infection in, quote, farm cats, unquote, which they acknowledge is a delicate endeavor since they are cherished as pets. In a recent interview with Alex Jones, Dr. Peter McCullough warned that PCR...
Excuse me, Lou.
Yes.
That was a really snidey, snarky New World Order Depopulation Murder, Inc. joke, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I think it
that
was.
That they're
yeah.
cherished pets. They don't care.
No, they don't. They don't give
you know
a
what?
Darn.
Pick it up, Lou.
In a recent interview with Alex Jones, Dr. Peter McCullough warned that PCR testing animals for bird flu is only going to, quote, create a false case count, as well as orders for mass culling. And he goes on to say, I don't think this is a threat to mankind. I think this is a giant threat to the food supply because of the selective mass destruction of livestock. And again, that was Dr. Peter McCullough who's speaking. And he went on to suggest that the animals ride out the infections without being killed by the masses. He also called for an investigation into gain-of-function research, suggesting that this bird flu, like COVID-19, may be the result of such research. Remarkably, the scientist Dr. Michael Greger, a vegan who once testified on behalf of Oprah Winfrey in her, quote, meat defamation, unquote, trial, has repeatedly claimed that chicken farms will trigger an apocalyptic virus that will threaten half of humankind. In 2006, he published a book called Bird Flu, A Virus of Our Own Hatching, in which he warns that, quote, leading public health authorities now predict as inevitable a pandemic of influenza triggered by bird flu and expected to lead to millions of deaths around the globe, unquote.
In his 2020 book, How to Survive a Pandemic, he recommends that humans eventually not eat poultry at all, asserting, quote, as long as there is poultry, there will be pandemics. In the end, it may be us or them, end of quote. In fact, one Amazon book reviewer believes his title is a misnomer and should be replaced with the following, How Raising and Consuming Animal Flesh Causes Pandemics, and by the way, How to Survive One. In other words, in order to avoid total apocalypse, humanity must face economic devastation, as well as likely malnutrition and health deficits from the inability to consume animal flesh. Globalists, including the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates, already want the world to transition to synthetic beef, quote, for the climate. Are we to believe that eliminating animal flesh, a staple of human diets going back thousands of years, is genuinely good for the welfare of mankind? Targeting chickens also conveniently aims a blow at those who are seeking to opt out of the globalist system by producing their own food, especially since the most accessible source of animal protein is chicken eggs and meat, available even to non-farmers. The globalists, however, pardon the pun, prefer to kill two birds with one stone. A bird flu outbreak could accomplish another major destructive goal of the globalists. Dr. McCullough thinks that the, quote, end game of this bird flu is, quote, mass vaccination. He pointed out that the military contractor, Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, BARDA, B-A-R-D-A, has already helped develop a bird flu vaccine, which has been cleared by the FDA. And on Thursday, it was reported that the U.S. government is close to a, quote, an agreement to fund a late-stage trial of Moderna's mRNA bird flu vaccine, end of quote. Farmers and citizens around the world must resist mass animal cullings and put governments on the defensive in light of what we know about the abuse of bioweapons and gain-of-function research. We have every right to question the origins and true danger of a new, quote, pandemic. Considering what we've learned and witnessed during the COVID-19 outbreak, we cannot let globalists destroy lives in the name of saving them.
And then we have this from the Fort Fairfield Journal, May 29th, for Fort Fairfield, Maine. 130 countries signed pledge to ban meat production. The United Nations World Health Organization, WHO, Director General Tedros declared that farming accounts for 30% of greenhouse gas emissions and that the world needs to shift to plant-based diets. This idea is based on fake science, since meat production has little to do with climate change. He said that 130 countries have signed the COPD28 Declaration on Climate and Health to ban meat production.
And Lou, we have to interject that he said, we don't see the proof of this yet, that 130 signed on to this, do we?
No, we don't. And did, as you're saying, was it really 130, or is that just a little number he made up off the top of his head?
Right.
Going on, carbon dioxide is a beneficial plant food that all green plants need to survive. But the UN globalists arbitrarily consider the gas to be toxic and now say that methane is also toxic. They are also targeting rice farming for destruction because they claim it also causes, quote, climate change, unquote. The real purpose of these loony climate changes or change ideas is to reduce food production in order to starve humans from the face of the earth. These climate change propagandistic, make that propagandistic, control freaks should be vehemently resisted at all costs. And also from the Fort Fairfield Journal, from June 12th, U.S. government gives green light to import fish irradiated in Japan's Fukushima nuclear wastewater. In May 2024, Japan completed its fifth release into the Pacific Ocean of contaminated radioactive wastewater from the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power station. Children's Health Defense reports, quote, local fishing groups, residents, neighboring countries, and many scientists and environmental organizations strongly opposed the discharges, citing concerns about the contaminated water's effects on human and environmental health, unquote. In an attempt to allay those concerns, Japan's Prime Minister, Fumio Kishida, last September, following the first discharge, released a video clip of himself eating Fukushima fish, which he called, quote, safe and delicious, unquote. It's not clear whether the fish he ate was actually swimming in the toxic nuclear wastewater. The potentially toxic fish is being bought up by the U.S. government to feed the U.S. military personnel. And government officials are in negotiations to expand the fish supplies in U.S. food markets. This is the same government that told everyone the COVID-19 so-called vaccines were, quote, safe and effective, unquote. China, Russia, and South Korea have banned the import of Japanese seafood over concerns about radioactive contamination. And this is Lou speaking now. Despite the controversy surrounding, quote, bird flu, there is no controversy that someone or something continues to destroy food animals and food production facilities worldwide. In the area where Elizabeth and I live, a smaller scale, but yes, questionable incident has occurred. This is from our local paper. Around 28,000 chickens killed in Fettlesburg fire. by Connemetz. Fettlesburg. A chicken house fire in Fettlesburg killed approximately 28,000 chickens Sunday morning. And this was dated. Let me see if I can see a date on this. I think we've stapled over it, so we'll have to
I think it was either May or June.
Yes, definitely May or June. According to a release from the state fire marshal's office, the fire occurred just before 5:30 a.m. Sunday in a building owned by Possum Hill Farms on Possum Hill Road. No injuries were reported. Fettlesburg Volunteer Fire Company Chief Steve Cox said the fire was in the center of the building. Crews of firefighters worked with both ends, or from both ends, to stop the blaze. The state fire marshal's office said the fire took about an hour and a half to control. It listed the cause as an electrical failure in the pump room. Cox said the damage was significant. He went on to say, quote, none of that's savable. They've got to destroy all that. They'll probably tear the chicken house down. So there's really not a save for anybody. We stopped it from going any further, but they can't save anything, unquote. He added that other fire companies were a big help in containing the fire, including crews from the nearby towns of Denton, Preston, and Greenwood, Delaware. Cox said, if I didn't have them, we'd have had a worse situation. While the loss of chickens was extreme, State Fire Marshal Deputy Chief Karen McMahon said the departments were able to prevent the fire from spreading and destroying the barns. McMahon said, quote, the fire department controlled it pretty well. Typically, the poultry barns, once they ignite, it spreads pretty quickly because of the dust and materials inside of the barn, unquote. And this is Lou speaking now. I would just ask, was this an accident or part of the global depopulation activities? My late dad was a fireman for several decades, volunteer fireman up in Massachusetts, and he always told me if they didn't know what else to blame a fire on, they would just say it was due to electrical wiring faults.
Catch-all.
Exactly.
Yes, and so this same theme, here we had the headline, May 1st, that day of infamous socialist and pagan associations, it was in the Advent Messenger, Earth Sabbath calls on Pope Francis to use his moral authority to introduce a weekly day of rest during the G7 summit to combat climate change. And then just 2 months later, July 1st, we had the People's Voice with this headline, millions rise up and vote to abolish WEF agenda in France as Le Pen wins first round. Then we had InfoWars, and this again was June 26th. The headline, world's first carbon tax arrives in Denmark, excuse to destroy food supply, by Kellen McBreen. The globalists are launching a test operation in Denmark where, quote, green climate policies are being used to destroy the nation's agriculture, an agenda that will soon spread worldwide. AP reports, Denmark will tax livestock farmers for the greenhouse gases emitted by their cows, sheep, and pigs. From 2030, the first country in the world to do so, as it targets a major source of methane emissions, one of the most potent gases contributing to global warming. The aim is to reduce Danish greenhouse gas emissions by 70% from 1990 levels by 2030, said Taxation Minister Jeppe Bruys. And then we go on, and we have a lot to get to, so I'm just going to give you the headline again. May 6th from the Daily Mail, we mustn't forget about this. Chinese scientists create mutant Ebola virus in lab. So that's always the big elephant in the room. Should there be something like that, we may give you more details on that later. But we're moving back now to the Pride Month afterburn, aren't we, Lou?
That's right. And to introduce it, now it looks like in addition to homosexual male couples adopting children, we have the extra abomination of the group sex factor. Nothing surprises anymore as black sin envelops America. This was from LifeSite News. Homosexual throuple, not couple, throuple, seeking three parent birth certificate, launches business to help others obtain kids. Whereas fatherless children have long been objects of pity, they are now joined by increasing ranks of motherless kids, thanks to same-sex marriage and the burgeoning techno-medical reproductive industry that serves homosexuals, monogendered couples, thruples, and more. This was by Doug Mainwaring, Thursday, May 30th. A homosexual thruple seeking three-way equal legal recognition as fathers for an adopted two-year-old daughter and six-month-old surrogate-born son say they are on a quest to help other homosexual threesomes acquire motherless babies. The three males, ages 38, 38, and 36, first made news a year ago when they sought to be the second thruple in the United States to have all three of their names included as parents on their adopted daughter's birth certificate. More recently, they announced in a social media video the birth of a boy created via the semen of one of the men, an anonymous egg donor, and a surrogate. Two of the males are currently the legal parents of both children. After posting about their life on Instagram, they have had other thruples contact them for, quote, relationship advice and tips on how to start a family as a trio, unquote, according to a report by The Independent. Quote, we have a lot of friends that reached out to us about surrogacy and people that we've never met. One of the males, named Mitch, told the news outlet. So we are going to start our own surrogacy and adoption consultancy where we can refer people so they can have a good experience like us, unquote. Another of the three, Ben, said, I think that for us it's always been a new way of living and creating a family. So I'm sure there's a lot more people that would probably go this route or have an interest in being added to a birth certificate. We can hopefully create a pathway for other people to be able to do this as well, he added. While seeking to produce a child via surrogacy, they at first worked with an agency in Cancun, but then switched to another in Mexico City. Quote, the semen and embryos were flown from Cancun to Mexico City, and they had to pick out an egg donor, and new embryos were created, according to The Independent. The thruple would like to have one more child via surrogacy. No mention has been made of the fate of the other children still in existence as embryos. After the adoption of their legal daughter, one told The Independent that she, quote, is going to love having three dads. She will always have so much love. We would let them know love is love from a mother or a father, unquote. But that is demonstrably untrue. Their children will hunger for the love of their mother, who is missing from their lives. After the U.S. Supreme Court's Obergefell ruling established the right to same-sex marriage across the land in 2015, everything changed for children yet to be born. Their natural right to be brought up by their biological mom and dad ostensibly disintegrated as a matter of law and, sadly, as a universal expectation of society. Quote, the consequence of the Supreme Court's decision to legalize gay marriage or consequences have not been restrained to the ability of two adults to marry, noted Katie Faust and Stacey Manning in their groundbreaking book, Them Before Us, Why We Need a Global Children's Rights Movement.
Thanks to surrogacy, facilitating mother loss has become a billion-dollar industry, Faust and Manning said. The story of the thruple seeking full three-way legal recognition for the children entrusted to their care, while also seeking to increase the number of thruples raising kids, raises questions of enormous, far-reaching importance. Are those inclined to thruplehood relationships being treated unjustly? When their consensual romantic bonds go unrecognized, are their children unconscionably stigmatized? Ryan Anderson wondered in his book, Truth Over Rule, The Future of Marriage and Religious Freedom, published shortly after Obergefell was decided. And, of course, then we're skipping down to what Anderson said. Americans should reject such revisionism and work to restore the essentials that make marriage so important for societal welfare. Sexual complementarity, monogamy, exclusivity, and permanence. Now, nearly a decade later, that message has become more urgent than ever.
And from LifeSide News, YMCA has shamefully embraced LGBTQ plus ideology and should remove Christian from its name. The YMCA has become the antithesis of Christian teaching by promoting the LGBTQ plus agenda and anti-biblical ideology, even to the point of endangering its patrons, American Life League President Judy Brown said. And this was put out by the American Life League Saturday, June 8, 2024. Dateline, Fredericksburg, Virginia. What's in a name? In the case of the YMCA, American Life League is calling out the nonprofit for its disingenuity. Research published by American Life League's Charity Watch List highlights the incongruity between the name and the stated mission of the Young Men's Christian Association and the 180-year-old organization's current policies, programs, and June focus on, quote, Pride Month, unquote. The stated mission of the YMCA, often just called the Y, remains, quote, to put Christian principles into practice through programs that build healthy spirit, mind, and body for all, unquote. The Young Men's Christian Association was founded in 1844 in London, England, by tradesman George Williams to offer refuge for youth seeking escape from the hazards of sleeping on the streets. According to the history, Williams, quote, organized the first YMCA to substitute Bible study and prayer for life in the streets.
And we have to shorten it, but we get the picture.
Yes.
All of these Christian institutions have changed. And then we move right on. LifeSite News has a headline, Menopause in Your 20s. Young girls are not being warned about this side effect of, quote, transitioning. This was Monday, May 27th. Jonathan Van Maren. And we can get the picture here that these young girls who are convinced to get their breasts cut off and be turned into so-called men, they don't know that they may be having this early menopause, this terrible. We have a quote from the article, largely irreparable, irreversible damage to thousands upon thousands of young people, most of whom are not told that the dangers of the path they are embarking on, and many of whom are told that what they are doing is reversible. What a lie it is to the children. And now we must move on to the story of the Vatican and Pope Francis.
Yes, that's right. Last time we also took a look at Pride Month in full flame at the Vatican with drag queen, queens performing at World Children's Day. This occurred at Rome Olympic Stadium. I also began to report on the Pope's shocking advice. And here is the article in full from LifeSite News. Pope Francis reportedly tells homosexual man thrown out of the seminary, quote, go forward with your vocation. This was by Andreas Walser, Tuesday, June 4th. Pope Francis reportedly told a man who was dismissed from a seminary for being a practicing homosexual to go forward with your vocation. According to the Italian newspaper Il Messaggero, 22-year-old Lorenzo Michele Noah Caruso received a letter from Francis in response to an email that Caruso sent the pontiff about the Pope's reported use of the vulgar phrase procreagina, which I guess is something to do with faggotry in English, in reference to homosexuals in seminaries. Pope Francis wrote, thank you so much for your email, in a handwritten letter that was scanned and attached to the email, as Il Messaggero reported. I was struck by an expression of yours, toxic and elective clericalism. And it is true. Do you know that clericalism is a plague? Jesus calls everyone, the letter continued. Some people think of the church as a customs office, and that is bad. The church must be open to everyone. Brother, go ahead with your vocation, unquote. In his alleged response, Francis affirmed the homosexual man in his attempt to receive holy orders, an explicit violation of Catholic teaching, while also failing to call him to repentance and chastity. The Catholic Church infallibly teaches that all homosexual activity is gravely sinful. the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which teaches that homosexual acts are intrinsically disordered and contrary to the natural law. The Catechism is very clear that homosexual activity can never be approved and repeats that, quote, homosexual persons are called to chastity, unquote, adding that the homosexual inclination is, quote, objectively disordered, unquote. The Church also prohibits men with homosexual tendencies from being admitted to seminary or holy orders, as a 2005 instruction from the Congregation for Catholic Education, approved by Pope Benedict XVI, declares. The instruction adds that, quote, disturbances of a sexual nature, unquote, such as sodomitic inclination, are incompatible with the priesthood. The Vatican reaffirmed this ban in 2016. Caruso told Il Messaggero that Francis's beautiful reply makes it clear who the real Pope is. He is not what they made him out to be, unquote. This letter gives me hope. Now the seminary remains a dream, not shelved, he added. The young man said that he was dismissed from the seminary when his sexuality was discovered. According to Caruso, the letter he received from Francis has hardened him and other so-called gay Catholics. In his letter to Francis, Caruso expressed his confidence that the ongoing synod would reverse Catholic doctrine and be a turning point and ensure that, quote, all expressions are seen as God's plan for our church, unquote. He asked for a revision of the church's prohibition on men with homosexual tendencies from the seminaries because, quote, many young people feel lost in a church that often seems to have become tied to a toxic and elective clericalism, he said, where only some deserve to be welcomed and where others are excluded as false Christians, as if renunciation from grave sin is not necessary to be Christian. According to Il Messaggero, Innocenzo Pontolillo, president of the notorious Italian pro-LGBT group La Tenda di Giannata, praised Francis's letter as welcoming, inclusive, and, quote, really beautiful, unquote. This instance is not the first time the reports of Pope Francis affirming pro-LGBT groups or individuals in their sinful practices and ideologies have come out. The openly homosexual priest, Father James Ellison, said that the pontiff affirmed his homosexuality in a private phone call in 2017. In 2023, the Pope reportedly told LGBT activist groups, including New Ways Ministry, to, quote, go forward, unquote, with their activities during a private meeting at the Vatican. The Pope also has an extensive record of promoting heretical, pro-LGBT clerics like Cardinal Robert McElroy of San Diego and LGBT activist priests like Father James Martin, S.J., Cardinal Jean-Claude Paulrec, S.J., of Luxembourg, whom Francis appointed the Relator General of his Synod on Synodality, has said that he believes church teaching on the sinfulness of homosexual acts is, quote-unquote, false. In December, Francis approved the heterodox document Fiducia Supplicans, authored by Cardinal Victor Fernandez, head of the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, because it endorses the blessing, that's in quotes, the blessing of homosexual, quote-unquote, couples. It drew condemnations from bishops around the world, including Cardinal Gerhard Mueller, Cardinal Robert Serra, and the majority of the African bishops.
LifeSite News. Pope Francis writes preface to pro-LGBT Father James Martin's latest book. Vatican City, this is June 3rd, Emily Mangia Racina. The Vatican has published Pope Francis's preface to a book by pro-LGBT Father James Martin, S.J., and S.J. means Jesuit, in which the pontiff makes a statement that may be interpreted to claim that one can maintain friendship with God while in mortal sin. In September 2023, Martin's book, Come Forth, The Promise of Jesus' Greatest Miracle, was published, described as, quote, a meditation on the raising of Lazarus, end of quote, and used by Martin to urge homosexuals to, quote, come out and, quote, embrace their homosexual tendencies. On Monday, Vatican News published Francis's preface to Martin's Italian version of the book, with the preface itself dated on March 11, 2024. Francis opened the preface, noting, quote, Father James Martin is the author of many other books that I know and appreciate, among which are Building a Bridge, Martin's notorious 2017 pro-LGBT book in which he attempts to normalize homosexuality and criticizes Catholic doctrine that homosexuality is, quote, disordered. The heretical Jesuit has elsewhere affirmed homosexual activity despite the Catholic Church's teaching that such activity is mortally sinful. Francis continued, quote, Jesus didn't just talk about eternal life. He gave it to us. He didn't just say, I am the resurrection. He also resurrected Lazarus, who'd been dead for 3 days. He went on to incorrectly claim that, quote, the divine is never separated from the, quote, human in Christianity, writing, quote, Christian faith is the ever-present commingling of the eternal and the contingent, of heaven and earth, of the divine and the human, never one without the other. All of us, then, are Lazarus, wrote Francis, going on to reference Martin's book, rooting himself firmly in the Ignatian tradition, and of course that would be Ignatius of Loyola, and we know about that formation of people. But Father Martin, I'm just interjecting there, Elizabeth, Father Martin brings us directly into the story of this friend of Jesus. These, again, are the words of Francis. We're his friends, too, dead as we sometimes are on account of our sins, our failings and infidelities, the despondency that discourages us and crushes our spirits. Without quoting Martin or pointing to a specific passage in his book, Francis appears to suggest that one can be friends with God even while, quote, dead in mortal sin, while on the contrary, the Church has always understood mortal sin to be a breaking of one's friendship with God. Francis has signaled his support of Martin in many ways, despite the latter's support of homosexuality, such as by appointing and reappointing him as a Vatican communications consultant and by meeting with Martin and praising his pro-LGBT initiatives. And we have to take a look here. Lou, I think you have a little more. Maybe we can make it a little short. Would you go? What is your headline there?
Our headline from the LifeSite News says Father James Martin says he knows hundreds of homosexual priests, and he says they've been my mentors.
That tells you a lot.
It does. Yes.
Then LifeSite May 30th, the headline is The Reality of Gay Seminaries and What's Behind Pope Francis's Faggoty Remark. And, of course, in that article, the reality, it says homosexuals in seminaries. Notwithstanding the Church's rules, increasing numbers of media reports over recent years have served to highlight how the issue of homosexuals not merely entering the seminary but proceeding to ordination has continued. While rumors of gay lobby are often dismissed by critics, a number of prominent prelates have given considerable credence to the real problem of such widespread pro-homosexual attitudes or lifestyles within the Church's clergy or seminaries. Indeed, the late Pope Benedict XVI famously noted in his contribution to the Vatican's 2019 Sex Abuse Summit that homosexual groups were historically prominent in seminaries. Quote, in various seminaries, homosexual cliques were established, which acted more or less openly and significantly changed the climate in the seminaries, he wrote. So there's the reality from Pope Benedict XVI. We now are not going to just focus on Rome. We have to focus at LifeSite News, Doug Mainwaring, Wednesday, May 29th, Episcopalians' new pride emblem shows how LGBT ideology has overtaken their religion. With 75% of Episcopalians' new emblem devoted to LGBTQ plus ideology, Christ may soon be nothing more than a footnote for the dying, suicidal Episcopal Church. the Episcopal Church has unveiled its new Pride Shield in celebration of LGBTQ plus inclusion, deforming its long-held emblem, whose red, white, and blue colors are intended to represent the sacrifice of Christ and Christian martyrs, the, quote, purity of the Christian faith, end of quote, and the humanity of Christ received from the Blessed Virgin Mary. The white field behind the red cross of St. George represented, quote, the purity of the Christian faith, with the pale blue area in the upper left-hand corner containing nine white crosslets representing the nine original dioceses of the Episcopal Church in America in 1789. The remaining three white divisions formed by the Red Cross have now been filled in with the colors of the rainbow, homosexual, and the pastel-striped transgender flags. In other words, the, quote, purity of the Christian faith has been symbolically pushed aside to make room for the ascendancy of LGBT political power just in time for this year's, quote, Pride Month. The design includes not only the traditional, quote, Pride flag, but the, quote, Progress Pride flag, end of quote, and, quote, Philadelphia Pride flag, end of quote. A statement from the church, which links to the website of the radical LGBT activist group Human Rights Campaign, explains, quote, in their use of black, brown, pink, and light blue diagonal lines, the latter two flags represent intersectional progress in acknowledging people who are often overlooked by the mainstream LGBTQ plus movement, communities of color, the transgender community, as well as the many thousands allegedly harmed by anti-LGBTQ plus policy. In the United States, the bodily autonomy of women and trans people is under attack, claimed Aaron Scott, the church's first gender justice staff officer. Hear that, Lou? The church's first gender justice staff officer.
Yeah.
Persecution is not far behind, Lou.
No, it's not.
Talking.
It's
and,
not.
And it says seeking to this office is seeking to establish victimhood status for abortion seekers and the gender confused. The Episcopal Church brags of its 50-year history working toward the radical inclusion of LGBT identifying persons. And its new logo, you see, is different. And Dr. Jordan Peterson said that these LGBT forces will soon fully overtake the Episcopal Church, subordinating Christianity to the doctrines of the new secular LGBT religion. Soon, the abomination of desolation will be put in the highest place. Pray to God for America to repent. World War III and nuclear destruction, will they be part of God's judgment? Is this horrendous heat wave on the East Coast part also? Good night.